Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, Pastor Christian delivered the sermon. Here's Ron Thompson with our scripture reading.
Our scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul addresses the serious divisiveness within the church, and he calls for unity, or in his words, one body. Hear now the words from Paul. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make any less a part of the body either. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe and we great honor, and our less respectable members are treated with great respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gift, and I will show you still a more excellent way. The Word of God for the people of God.
When I first came to Greystone in the fall of 2020, much of life was still operating in remote mode. One of the initial challenges of my position was to try to find ways to keep our choir engaged in making music and building community together while in a virtual space. I'll admit that our first Zoom rehearsal was a little intimidating for me. Sitting in my daughter's room in Greensboro, because it was the only relatively quiet place in the house, I started the meeting and watched as the screen filled up with barely familiar faces tuning in from various parts of a city I didn't know. I had a plan for us to try to make some virtual choir recordings together, but wondered, what was the choir expecting? Who would show up? Would they trust me? Would they have enough confidence in themselves to sing alone in front of a computer screen? Would they be excited about recording themselves? Am I on mute? Looking at all the boxes on my single screen in gallery mode, any anxiety I had was quickly squashed. These folks were clearly happy just to be together as one again, whatever the context, and their warm spirit radiated through the screen. We shared joys, concerns, prayer requests, and then a prayer. Our choir members were excited to sing and looking forward to using their gifts to share music with the Greystone community again, however they had to do it. When I told them about our plan to record virtually, they were excited, but there was a little bit of concern about whether or not it would actually work. After not having sung together for a while, many choir members were particularly humble about their abilities. Thankfully, there were no divas in this choir. But even though they didn't know how it would ultimately turn out, each of the members had the trust and confidence in themselves and each other to record and contribute their parts to the song. Looking at today's scripture, it's clear that Paul did encounter some divas at the church he established in Corinth. It seems that some of the Corinthian Christians have become prideful of their own particular gifts and dismissive of the gifts of others. Spiritual gifts have become a divisive influence among them, and there's a general overemphasis on speaking in tongues. Must have been the Sopranos. But Paul warns against this kind of attitude. Just before today's passage, Paul writes of a variety of spiritual gifts, explaining that they are all activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. He then goes on to use the analogy of a body to describe the church and the individual members within it. Now, the comparison of a human community to the physical body was certainly not original with Paul. This was a common trope in classical literature. The analogy was often used in reference to the hegemonic society where the head controls the rest. In that body, not all members are treated equally or respectfully, but it's understood that the lesser members of society exist to serve the bigger or the strong. Members of the lower class should obey and support their military, mercantile, and political leaders. The analogy reinforced the ideal that those at the bottom of the social ladder should stay put and be grateful for the guidance and protection of their natural superiors. However, Paul takes this body analogy and gives it a revolutionary new twist. Paul uses the figure of the body to develop and promote an understanding that diversity, interdependence, and an egalitarian stance are all necessary for the healthy functioning of the church. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body of Christ. According to Paul's analogy, any claim of superiority is ridiculous, for it implicitly reduces the church to one body part and its function. Contextually, it's pretty clear that Paul was referring to members or limbs of a human body, but it's also interesting to note that the Greek word used for member throughout this passage, melos, can also mean song or melody, and the Greek word for body, soma, can loosely mean the whole of a thing. Imagine listening to a hymn like Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, with only the altos singing. I mean, sure, they'd sound great, and you might be able to recognize the song, but it wouldn't make all that much sense out of context. Even with the sopranos singing the melody alone, the tune might be more familiar, but it would lack the richness and depth that we experience when all of the harmonies come together as a whole. In a choir, we need the sopranos' melodies and descants, the altos' and tenors' counter-melodies, tensions, and resolutions, the bass's harmonic foundation, and the accompanist's support and rhythmic drive. Many diverse bodies and voices must come together, listening deeply to each other, trusting and depending on each other, and singing in tune as one. Otherwise, we completely miss out on the full expression of the thing. This is Paul's point about the church in Corinth. The full diversity of individual bodies, their lived experiences, and the spiritual gifts they bring, their unique songs, if you will, is integral to the proper functioning of the whole. Interdependence is required, and in order for the church to be united, it's imperative that the church recognize the value of its diversity. After all, unity is coherent as a concept in reality only amid diversity, and all of a church's members are intimately bound to each other across any perceived boundaries: class, race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, political views. We are intimately bound by the Spirit, through which we were all baptized into one body. Overcoming all divides, the Spirit guides each one of us to play an equally necessary and important part in our community. In his book, Living Buddha, Living Christ, Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh likens the Holy Spirit to the Buddhist concept of mindfulness and how it can help us cultivate an understanding and appreciation of interdependence, or interbeing as he calls it. He says, "To me, mindfulness is very much like the Holy Spirit. When we are mindful, touching deeply the present moment, we can see and listen deeply, and the fruits are always understanding, acceptance, love, and the desire to relieve suffering and bring joy. When we look deeply at the physical world around us, the result is insight into the true nature of things. When we look into the heart of a flower, we see clouds, sunshine, minerals, time, the earth, and everything else in the cosmos in it. Without clouds, there could be no rain, and there would be no flower. Without time, the flower could not bloom. In fact, the flower is made entirely of non-flower elements. It has no independent individual existence. It inter-is with everything else in the universe. When we see the nature of interbeing, barriers between ourselves and others are dissolved, and peace, love, and understanding are possible." This is what Paul speaks to when he stresses that God has arranged the body so that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Consider, for example, what happens when you bang your head or even if you get a paper cut. Until the pain subsides, it overwhelms your whole consciousness. I mean, those paper cuts can sting. If one part of our body hurts, we hurt. And the body gives extra attention and care to the injured part until it grows stronger again. Similarly, if someone tells us we have a nice smile, it tends to make us feel good all over. So it is with our church body. We suffer and rejoice together. The word sympathy is derived from the Greek words syn and pathos, to feel together with. And it does not necessarily have to have a negative connotation, but simply means a common feeling and understanding. Paul tells us that this is how a healthy church body operates, with the individual members living in sympathy, feeling together, and offering deep understanding. Bede Griffiths was a British-born Benedictine monk who lived in ashrams or monasteries in South India. He was a part of the Christian ashram movement, which sought to combine elements of Christianity and Hinduism. He describes what Thich Nhat Hanh refers to as interbeing in terms of a cosmic Christ, with the body of the church extending throughout all of creation, the entire universe. He says, "The world in a real sense is the becoming of God. The eternal Word, in whom the archetypes of all created beings exist eternally, manifests itself by sounding in time. The whole creation, from the smallest atom to the furthest star, is a manifestation in space and time, in multiplicity and change, of that one. The Spirit, immanent in nature from the beginning, receives the seeds of the Word into her womb and brings them forth in creation. From the first beginning of matter, through all the stages of evolution, of organic growth and consciousness, the Spirit is structuring these forms, molding them by her inherent power." Griffiths continues, "It is not only the whole of humanity, but the whole creation, which constitutes the body of the church. It is the becoming of God. The Spirit continually drives the infinite manifestations of the sounding of the Word throughout all creation. This understanding of the body of Christ extending to all creation requires us to listen deeply for the ways in which the Spirit is moving each of us to respond to and sound the Word, both in our church and in the greater community. The diverse members of any healthy community are going to need to be in tune with each other and unafraid to sing their own parts confidently. There's a sense of trust with and care for each other that needs to develop, a holy, confident humility, so the individual members of any group or system feel comfortable and valued enough to let their guard down and give of their true selves, you know, the God stuff, the seeds of the Word that the Spirit draws out. In a healthy group, the members can listen deeply for the song the Spirit is calling them to sing and express it in harmony with the rest of the group as they sound together in God's symphony. Many voices, one song. As Paul says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is an important member of that body. And he then goes on to list a number of diverse spiritual gifts that God has established within the body, all of them equally valuable and necessary. This is Paul's radical invitation to conscious participation in the becoming of God. And as Paul goes on to explain in chapter 13, the necessary foundation for life in Christ, through which all of these gifts are offered and received, is the motivating force available for all of us to choose. Love. Our first Greystone virtual choir attempt would be the first of many successful ones. Across space and time, each choir member's individual vocal part would be recorded and then added to the body of each song, resulting in a complete and beautiful recorded arrangement. Eventually, the choir would begin singing in person again and growing, consistently working together as one to offer worshipful musical experiences for our church and the larger community. It was only a month and a half ago that we offered our Sounds of the Season Christmas concert, which drew in Greystone members as well as many other members of the community. Of course, the reality of COVID and the Omicron variant has unfortunately led to many of our church activities returning to remote-only offerings for the time being. In a time like this, it's easy to feel dismembered as a community. But of course, the Spirit transcends all boundaries, including space. So let us remember that we are still a necessary part of the body and our gifts matter. So what song is the Spirit calling you to sing, and how will you offer your voice? Well, you can join the choir. We're currently meeting via Zoom on Wednesday nights to rehearse in preparation for when we can safely sing together and worship again. And beyond the choir's efforts, ever since I was first invited into participation with this church body at Greystone, I've been continually amazed by how this entire congregation lives out Paul's message. Members are constantly listening deeply for the movement of the Spirit, humbly volunteering their diverse spiritual gifts for the good of the entire body, and inviting others to do the same. Through our worship, through our educational offerings, through our various committees and teams and their activities, and also the ways in which our individual members are active in the community during the week, across any perceived differences and divisions, this church comes together to care for and feel with each other, and it extends that love out to the community. Let each one of us continue to listen deeply for the song we are called to sing, so we can sound together as God's symphony, expressing God's love by word and deed to all of creation. Amen.